Monkey Music Show, Teva and Jeff Pilson. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Well, welcome back. I mean, last time we spoke was about your Heavy Hitters 2 album, which is great, and we were talking about vocalists. And you had a new vocalist for that album, who was fantastic. And what's really kind of funny is you have two more albums out. You always seem to do a lot of work, even whether it's George or someone else. You always have a lot of different singers with you that you work with, different ones, but a stellar amount of vocalists. And you're quite a vocalist yourself, so it's pretty amazing the amount of albums you put out. I gotta be honest with you, because we'll talk about Revolution Saints and the End Machine today. First, let's talk about the End Machine. Big change in the band. What changed that with a new singer?
Serafino, who's the president of our label, Frontiers, he wanted George and I to hear this singer, Girish. So we heard some of his stuff, and Serafino really wanted us to consider making a change. Basically, he thought it could bring it up a notch. And when George and I heard Girish's voice, we said, wow, this guy's amazing. And you have to understand the problem is there was nothing wrong with Robert Mason. And I don't ever want people to get the feeling that somehow Robert was, I mean, this is a nasty thing because people jump to that conclusion, and that's just not the case. Robert's amazing. He's a great singer, he's a great writer, he's an amazing front man. Robert didn't do anything wrong. So emphasize that. But when we heard Girish, and because the label wanted us to try this, it was like, wow, this guy is amazing. And sure enough, he turned out to be an amazing writer as well. I mean, we sent him stuff and he came back with great stuff. And then when we really got deep into the album, which means, there's a lot of collaboration going back and forth. I mean, mind you, he's doing his vocals in India. But there's emails, there's Zoom calls, things like that. And he had to do rewrites and all that kind of thing, which is not easy to do. And his attitude through that was absolutely amazing. So the guy is, he's just, he's an A-lister. I mean, he's just amazing. Very, very happy to be working with the guy who has such a great attitude, such an amazing voice, and is such a great writer.
Well, I think it's good in a few things. Yeah, I think Robert, just like you, I think Robert's a stellar guy. He's a great singer. I've heard great things about him as a person. So yeah, he's aces. So bringing in a different dimension is really, what it is. And vocally, it's funny because like Robert does the rock stuff good with Warrant, but it was almost like you guys had different flavors of some rock, 70s, 80s, but then you also have like a modern rock. And I think this guy brings it more back to rock and roll feeling to me. And I think that's why I enjoy this album probably more. It's not a dig. I don't know how to say it.
No, I actually think you're on very much on the right track here. For Robert, writing for this band, I think when he was doing his best writing for this band, we were a little more modern. We had a little bit of a different take on it. And I think that comes from the fact that Robert is like us from that era. So like any artist, he wants to move on. He wants to, he doesn't want to repeat himself. He doesn't want to repeat the past. With Girish, this is the music he came from. This is what he wants to do. So it was such a natural fit. George and I just let ourselves write what we naturally write. And Girish just, for him, it's in his DNA. It's natural for him and easy. So, I mean, it's like he was really genuinely enthusiastic about coming up with this kind of melodic metal. So, I think you're on the right track there, and I'm hoping that audiences react like that
I
because
think so.
the beautiful thing is that it's happened naturally, and that's the thing. I think Robert would have felt forced trying to come up with this stylistic version of the record. So, I agree with you.
And I do think, and like the album is just like, I've heard it, and it's the whole thing top to bottom is great. And I think to me, I think, and that's why I felt like it was missing. I always like, I like a lot of the End Machine stuff, but I'm like, it never hit me the same as this one. I was like, guess what it was missing? It had a different vocal thing missing. This is the album I guess I was waiting for. I didn't know because of that difference in the vocal style.
Well, we accomplished, excuse me. We accomplished what we set out to do on this record. And it ha like I say, because it happened organically, it's a great feeling, and it's a, and I'm really proud of this entire record, top to bottom, and yeah, I'm just very excited about it.
You've had two videos out. Second one just came out. It looks like you shot them around the same time, the same spot, which
Yes.
would make sense economically. And just,
No,
well,
no
I mean,
hiding
that, well,
that.
why would you? He's in India. I mean, and then Steve and Steve's in another band, and like, and then you guys are in different bands touring. So I mean, the logistics of getting you guys together at the same spot, you better record 18 videos all at once for everything you do, because you snapped your fingers, you guys would be gone again.
Yeah, no, we did record the videos at the same time,
Where was that at?
basically. It was out in the desert in California,
In
about,
California.
I don't know, maybe 50 miles from where I am.
Okay. Is the goal to maybe keep this band as it is now? Like maybe any touring, any
Well,
keep on
sure.
next albums type of thing? I mean, oh, I don't know, because of the touring of like George is doing his final Lynch Mob right now.
Right. Well, honestly, I don't anticipate doing any live shows anytime soon with this band, only because the logistics are as complicated as they are. But I will say that there's a lot of pressure too, and we are trying. We would like to somehow figure out a way to play live. So we are working on ideas for it. I don't have anything concrete to
Right.
tell you, but that is a desire. And yes, the desire would be to keep this band as is.
I love this band.
I mean, the change to Steve Brown turned out to be a positive. I mean, obviously, when you had Wild Mick, George, and I together, the chemistry was insoluble. You know, it was just amazing. And yet, Steve fits in so amazing because he plays, sings,
Yeah.
feels so much like Mick. I mean, making those videos, George and I were looking at each other like, "This is spooky, man." You know, he looks
I've
so
been
much like.
watching him since the last time we talked about it, actually. I mean, you actually get guys calls like 2.5 or something, because you guys are like kind of more than half a docking. But he has a
Yeah.
place like him, and Mick's a great drummer. I don't think people
Yeah.
talk about it enough. He has a certain hitting style that is his own that really made docking stand out. Everybody's still on their own. So, and
Yeah.
I think in all these interviews and stuff of saying, he came in and did this for whatever, went off the rainbow. His drumming skills also elevated. It was a big team thing. I just want to say out loud, his drumming is fantastic, and I think he was a big part of the sound.
Well, and what you don't know and doesn't get talked about enough is Wild Mick had a you know he was a writing contributor, not as much as George and Don and I, but still he had some very valuable contributions. He's an amazing singer. He was very instrumental in that band, and yeah, I've read lately some people kind of slagging him off like he didn't work as hard. And I mean, there's some truth to that. I mean, he did, especially towards the end, he started getting pretty antsy about it, doing his tracks and getting out of there. But that doesn't mean he wasn't contributing to the songs. And he which he did. More so back in the 80s when we were, at our prime. But still an invaluable contribution that I think people need to know. And the beautiful thing is with Steve, we get that Brown energy in there, and he play. I mean, the way he plays the drums just feels like Mick. It's just the strangest thing in the world. And he's a great, and because Steve's had a lot of studio experience, he's a very, very great drummer to work with and have in the studio. So, I mean, we lucked out on that one.
Oh, and I think the fact that is think about how much you guys have done. Because I don't think have you guys you guys haven't played live with Steve yet, have you, either, in any version? Have you
No,
played live with
live
him?
End Machine did some live shows in 2019.
With Steve? Okay.
No, not
Okay.
with Steve. It was with
Right, that's what I'm saying. You guys three haven't played together, and
Will
now you have
Hunt.
this
Oh, right.
new young energy on top of it, which is the same thing that I was talking to George about. Because I talked about even I talked to Don too about some stuff. I heard him say this stuff, but with George, it's like now you're wrapping up this band. I'm like, this is a fantastic. The energy of this album is like back to the first album, and now you want to call it in. I'm like, it's the same thing. You have a nice young singer that finally clicks right and has the
Yeah.
energy, and
Well,
now
that's
you're
the thing
exploding
is,
again.
can you imagine if we played live how great the Dokken
No, I
sounds
couldn't.
would
That's what I'm
sound?
saying. Oh my God. With Steve and then you
Well, I
guys
think
and the new
about that a
singer.
lot.
Oh, I
Yeah.
mean, I think that needs to
Because
be like moved to a priority.
Steve can sing great as well. So yeah, we could go out there and knock out the Dokken songs quite quite strong.
You could do that, and obviously with the End Machine has a strong catalog too. So it'd be great. You could be your own solid band with
Of
honoring
course.
Docking that you're not going
I
to
mean,
really exist much for now.
I have no problem honoring Gawkin as much as possible. I mean, it was a great band that I'm grateful to have been part of. So yeah, anything we can do to support the legacy and go out there and maybe do these songs with a great singer, boy, that would be fun.
I think it would. I think that might be the only future because obviously, I don't know how you guys are going to come forward from everything that Don's been saying. I don't know how you guys are going to reconcile that. That's going to be, more of a
Well, we've
challenge.
done it before.
I
I
don't
don't know
know,
what's that.
or I'm sorry, how do you, I didn't mean to step on you. How do you guys reconcile that with them? If he's saying this, like, you guys always butt heads. You guys just, when you get in the studio, do you guys just not talk about it and just move on or hash it out or?
Well, we used to just have like a big old argument, and then somehow we kind of got through. But I mean, these days it would probably be more. I don't know. See, I can't explain it. It's like it doesn't affect me the same way as it used to. I don't take it as deeply personal as I used to. So now I just kind of look at it as he kind of looks sad doing all that. So, saying all the things he says. So, it kind of rolls off my back. I hate to say that. I hate to say that because, I love
Well, it
Don.
should.
On one level, I really love the guy. I really do. But I mean, there's some areas where it just appears he has not learned about from the past or progressed,
Right.
and it makes me sad. So I mean, if Don walked in the room right now, I'd give him a big hug. I don't care what he said, and he can talk about my drug use all he wants because I've always talked. I'm open about my drug use. I don't like when he talks about the other guys because I know that
Yeah.
some of the other guys have families and grandchildren who read this stuff, and it looks nasty and it looks petty, and there's no constructive reason for doing it. And maybe Don feels he needs publicity these days to, he's trying to sell his record, and he's very proud of his record. But I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe maybe there's a part of him that wants to put a final stake in the coffin. I don't know.
I don't know because when I talked to him, he felt like, so I didn't even get to sidetrack on this, but I mean, I did feel like when I talked to him, he felt like he was being earnest in how he saw things. Like it just felt like that's how he saw things. And what really threw me the
I
most is
think
that,
to some degree that's true.
yeah,
To some
like,
to some degree, when like even when he talks about Mick wanting to do his tracks and go to the rainbow,
right.
there is truth to it. It's not the absolute truth, but there is some truth to it.
Right. But I mean, like a few things he had said that kind of threw me and I didn't get to go into was like, that at the end was it Dysfunctional. George came in at the end of Dysfunctional and only did like one thing on it. Did very little on the Dysfunctional album. I mean,
One thing. I mean, he played on the entire
I
record,
know,
and
but like
we.
just like I know, but he made it sound like he just he contributed like one song at the very end or something. He came in at
Well,
the end of the production.
no. See, there is some
See,
truth to that. The songs were in place when George
yep.
came in, except for some of the stuff that we worked up for. I think it was just the American version of the record. That was some stuff that George contributed on. But yes, that see,
Okay, so
there's
then that
truth in
seems
that.
like it's how it's presented. Like how, because like I said, I think he sees it a certain way, and I don't know if it's all malicious or it's just at a point where he's just the lines blurring it, or maybe it is. But that, and I think the other thing, the other thing to me that threw me off was said a lot that George always was trying to fight him, and at one point they end up in a parking lot when they're answering toward the ACDC, and the guys even came outside to check on that.
Yeah, well, there, yeah, that was on the way to the gig at Wembley Arena in London. We were playing with AC/DC, and
Wembley too.
during the car during the limo ride, I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Please do, because at least I get a better
Don
feeling of what
walked
happened.
Don came into the limo, and he said, "So I'm leaving our management, Cliff and Peter, who were Q Prime Management, who managed Metallica, Def
Metallica,
Leppard. I mean, huge management company." Don came and said, "I'm leaving the management company, and Jeff, you and Mick, if you guys are smart, you'll come with me. George, I don't give a fuck what you do." And George just laid into him, and they just started like they were fighting in the limo. And I was in between them, and they were like doing this. So finally, the manager said, "Stop the car." And we got out of the car, and it was like And it didn't actually come to blows, but that's what cooled him off is when the manager got us out of the car. And so it didn't, the only blows were inside the limo and they weren't
That's
serious.
it, because
I
that
probably
part
more than him.
he didn't share that part. You know what I mean? So it's funny hearing that, I
Of course
guess.
not.
And the other, that's interesting. Thank you. I think the last thing he said was, "Who picked the songs?" Then what we're talking about for, I'm sorry, the producer when you guys did Shadow Life. He
Who
felt that you guys
picked
had
the
Bruce
song?
Fairbairn. Well, yeah, no producers, because I guess you guys were who you picked over. I guess you guys had like was it like Bruce Fairbairn or something, and different big
Well,
producers. You said, and you guys wanted this other guy who did it, John
okay,
Kelly.
that's not for Shadow Life. What
Oh,
what
sorry.
is true is yes, we had an opportunity to get Bruce Fairbairn and Bob Rock for the Back for the Attack record, and actually, I was on Don's side with that. I did want Bruce Fairbairn and Bob Rock very badly. We heard before it came out, our manager came out telling us that these guys were available, and that and he said, and listen. I want to play you the new Bon Jovi, which hadn't come out yet. And he goes, and they're going to be, he said, this record is going to be a smash and their price is going to go way up. We should take this now. And he played us, Slippery When Wet. So all I remember hearing was You Give Love a Bad Name, but I remember thinking,
Oh
oh
my
yeah.
God.
And now, and George and Mick said, we don't want that guy. We don't want to sound like Bon Jovi. So, that's where that. So
All
there's
right.
truth in that. Was not the Shadow Life record. Shadow Life, the only choice we really had was Kelly Gray, who did the record. And
Okay.
Kelly, Kelly gets slagged for that record, and it's not
Yeah.
100% fair to him. There's some things he did that probably definitely weren't right for the band. But he was very committed and he worked very hard on the record. So I hate to see him totally slagged off.
Well, I think with him not speaking out about it and Don saying stuff like, I came in right away and he said, I hate your falsetto voice or something along those lines. And the rest of the band's like, yeah,
And
like things like
there's some
that
truth to
makes it
that.
hard for Kelly to defend himself, is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. And that's what I mean. There is truth to that. He want the idea to bring Kelly in was to modernize the band, and which
Okay.
was not a great idea. And that was, I mean, and it was our manager's idea, which I think came from a good place, which was let's put a new coat of paint on Dokken, let's make it ready for the 90s. But Kelly probably wanted to take it too far because there were things about Don's voice that he didn't like because it was so unhip in the 90s. But that's foolish because that's Don,
That's Don's voice, yeah.
So yes, Kelly absolutely, like I say, there was
Okay.
absolutely he was in he wasn't the right person to do the record, but he did the job that he thought he was hired to do.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing those things. So actually, production's a great, great turn in here. You produced this album.
Oh,
You are a
Nimshi, yes,
fantastic
absolutely.
producer. Yeah. Let's go back into that. I
Thank
didn't
you.
make a sidetrack. I'm sorry. I heard all this stuff after talking to him and then George and everything, and then see everything
I know.
online. And I'm like, oh, I've got a couple
Well, and
questions
see,
now.
maybe that's why Don's doing all this because it's getting us talking. See, it
Cool.
works.
Then maybe everyone will talk about The Ed Machine now too, because it's a really fantastic album. And
Thank
your
you. I
production
am. I
skills
do.
are fantastic. You should be very proud
I
of it.
think if you are a Dokken fan, this record is going to be,
Oh, yeah.
a winner.
This
Absolutely.
year, George Lynch Mob and then this album are like the two albums that are must have for Dokken fans. They
I
are
think
just,
so too. Yeah.
yeah, I really agree. But your production skills, you've been doing it for a while, producing for quite a while now, finding it balancing between the two. Do you favor one or the other, or do you like to mix it up? Because when it gets too boring, you can go be a musician. Do you like to just produce
Oh,
or
touring
play
versus.
or
Oh,
write?
oh.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite place is the studio. This is my favorite place. I love the recording studio. But having said that, there is a thrill about playing live that is absolutely wonderful. It's a high that kind of can't be matched. But if I could only do one or the other, I would pick being in the studio.
Yeah. I mean, you found the diversity of it. And then they see the credits, another Pilsen last name on that in the
Olivia,
credit. Yeah.
in the engineer. That's my daughter. Yes. Well, I mean, that was done somewhat tongue in cheek.
No, but
She's
like,
not. She's
right,
actually
but.
an engineer at UCLA, but what she does do is when I have to go out and do background vocals, we'll say, Olivia, come and work the board. So she'll come in and she knows how to operate Pro Tools, and she will engineer as we go in to sing background vocals and okay,
There
next
you go.
take, and she'll set it up and do all that. So she
She
technically
did.
is engineering, but
Yeah.
the funny thing is She's an engineering student, mechanical
Right.
engineering student at UCLA.
Well, it's so good. I don't know if we had another family member coming in and kind of joining in the realm of production, you know.
Well, to a very, very mild degree, yes.
All right. This is more of a fun fact, a factoid for Dokken fans then to have that. So this album comes out on, I'm sorry
March
here, but
8th.
is it March 8th? And people, you need to check it out. It's awesome. And I just want to take a minute because you also just released, no, actually, it's already out though, it's Revolution Saints.
Yes, February 9th. That's been
Yes,
out.
that very good album too. Very different. And I can
Yeah.
even see you have different fans for each of these albums because this one, Revolution Saints, it kind of feels like it hits Journey and then also hits metal. Like it feels like some songs are really metal, and some songs feel like Journey. And it's not a dig. I
See,
mean, look
that's the
where he's
thing.
from.
I feel, yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about Revolution Saints is the focus of it is Dean's voice. That's the front and center feature. And he, let's face it, I mean, he there is a Steve Perry quality to his voice, but I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
Hell
So
no.
I, so if anybody says that we are a heavy Journey, I'm not ashamed of that, or I don't want to run from that. I mean, and it's not even just because Dean is in Journey. It's almost coincidental because I mean, I think that is part of the reason he's in Journey is that he could sing like that, but he would have been in Journey regardless because of his drumming, because he's an amazing drummer and he's a wonderful guy. But the fact is, he does have this amazing voice that needs to be out front. So the focus of the band is that, and Alessandro writes most of the songs. We're hoping to get the band involved for the next record. But again, the feature is Dean's voice. So if we do come across, I mean, but we're heavy rock musicians. Joel and Dean and I are heavy rockers. We
Right.
can be as heavy as anybody. So you take those two elements together, and I think it's just a fabulous, unique combination that I think
Yeah.
having it being unique, I think, is really cool.
Well, and I think to me, it's having heavy, like the heavy songs don't sound as much like Journey as just the slower songs do. And that also comes
Right.
from like generationally. You know, our ages that we're in, what were you growing up, what was your influences and this and that. And then his voice, it's kind of funny. Like he has such a good voice. He's such a good drummer. It's almost like cruel to some people that are trying to be drummers that aren't as good as half a drummer he is or half a singer. And he has both those skills,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. He does. I mean, and that's the thing. He really it should be a known singer because he really does have that great a voice. So I'm glad that he's got this vehicle. I'm proud to be part of it. Because I really do think the world of Dean. He is just a sweet, good human being. And I can't say enough good things about Joel. So, I mean, I'm really happy to be part of it. And yeah, I hope Dean becomes known as a singer as much as he is a drummer. And that's going to be difficult because he is considered one of the best drummers in rock.
It is, and he's got like all the competition for singers, but a lot of the singers now, as we've talked about in the past, their voices aren't as strong. So to come out and deliver a good rock album generationally was all, most of
Exactly.
the things, most good true rock albums, not true, it's like an absolute, are mostly musicians that are probably from their 40s and up, have more of an authentic feel about it without trying to make a copy because they kind of grew up around it. That being said, his voice is authentic. And he's like he knows his music. The production also helps on this album. Once again, bad production can, I don't care how good the band sounds, you get bad production, it's like you're in a cave or something or a tunnel. It's gonna
Yeah.
hurt the band a little bit, you know what I mean? So I mean, with that, now, and the other thing is, so Joel, fantastic, another fantastic musician. Like you just play with everybody's awesome. We'll wrap it up on this one, this last thing. Joel's band, 13, his singer, wasn't it was what's
Skirish.
his, yeah, it's Grish. People don't know. So it's
Yeah.
like, it's such a circle, you know,
Well, I
that.
mean, there's a lot of incest going on. I
Well,
mean, it can't be
yeah.
helped. We're in the age of band formations. And so you have to look at the good and the bad. And the good is you get these combinations of people that are absolutely phenomenal that couldn't have happened in an age where you couldn't do files remotely, where you had to tour a record in order for it to come out and be successful. So you're getting a lot of music that you wouldn't have gotten without the technology and without the music business situation the way it is. The bad, of course, is it's very difficult for these things to tour. Really
Yeah.
difficult. That's why you got to credit Last in Line. They do. I mean, they're really great
Yeah.
that they're out there that they are out there touring as much as they do. And, you know, Vivian's got a pretty significant day job. So, you know,
he does. And I talked to Andrew, he's like that. He's like, yeah, when they get the call, they get the call. When there's a time, you know, he's kind of.
Yeah. But I love the fact that they go out and do that. I really admire them for that. But having said that, you know, I'm on the road starting March 1st, I'm out till Thanksgiving. So, it would be very difficult for me to work anything in this year, but because this is the last year of Foreigner touring long 9 month stretches, right. I am going to have more time in 2025 and hopefully something can happen then. We'll see.
And yeah, so people listen, that's the end of Foreigner's long-term touring. They may still do shows. It's not another absolute.
Okay. Not the end of the band.
Clear up the internet. There's not the end. There might be some other shows, just not these mega tours. That's all that is. And hopefully that's they'll free up time, the end machine, and maybe a second album with Grish, and you'll have your, you know, firing and all. You know, that we'll would be great to have. Jeff, I want to thank you, man. It's always been a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. You're great, and I love it. So thank you so much. And I just noticed my battery's about to die. So
oh yeah.
All right, man. Perfect timing. Thank you so much.